Tonight on the Dudes and Dads podcast, we talk with our friend Ryan Wall about fostering creativity within our kids.
You're listening to the Dudes and Dads podcast, a show dedicated to helping men be better dudes and dads by building community through meaningful conversation and storytelling. And now, here are your hosts, Joel DeMott and Andy Lehman.
Hello, Joel.
Ryan Wall.
How are you, Joel?
Yeah, I'm great. Minus my hopefully temporary speech impediment. Hey, everybody. Good to have you back with us on the Dudes and Dads podcast. We're excited for another episode. As we embark on season six, we're four episodes in. And so far, the content has been above average, Andrew. Hey,
I don't know why, but Facebook is telling me that our content is blocked in Russia.
You know what? Good.
No one can watch the podcast in Russia. So there's that.
Let's just take a moment. For all of our Russian listeners out there,
we're sorry.
We apologize, especially if you were using this podcast to get through whatever situation you have over there currently. I don't know what season it is in Russia. I don't know. The hemisphere thing confuses me.
I don't know, but apparently you can't watch our show.
But you can't watch. So if you were like hunkered down in the dead cold of winter in Russia and our show is the only thing getting you by, I don't know who you have to blame. Probably some cyber terrorist. I don't know, but we're sorry. Okay. Enough about Russia. Am I right?
Right.
Andy, please fill me in. What's been going on in your life? Anything fun?
So we got to go watch the Notre Dame girls play today.
Nice.
And that was fun. They won.
Yep.
I was a little bit worried for a minute or two, but
ooh,
after halftime, they came back in.
It was a close
pretty
one.
Warm. It was closer, but.
Now, I have a little bit of a controversial take, and in a moment, I'll ask our guest in on his thoughts on this, because girls basketball, they've gone to quarters. They play in quarters.
Yes, correct.
Not two 20-minute halves, whatever that's about.
So you think that they should be.
Everyone else has gone to quarters. NBA plays in quarters, but NCAA men's basketball.
Still in halves.
What is the deal? Let's get with it. The NCAA is crumbling from the inside out anyway. I say, why? Now's the time to make changes if we can. So basketball game, that sounds like a super good time. We attended a baseball scrimmage today.
Okay.
Because it's 70 degrees outside right at the beginning of March. Not for Aaron's team, but for the age division below him. But they invited people out and said, hey, you want to come see a scrimmage? And so we're like, you know what? I can't get baseball soon enough.
I was actually thinking about grilling today, but didn't have anything to grill by the time we got back.
You know what? It's so funny you say that, because Josiah's birthday was officially today.
Oh,
today is the official day, March 3rd. This is the day we're recording, for those of you. Oh, I let the cat out of the bag. In case you thought we were recording another day, you find out when we're actually recording here on March 3rd. But yeah, he's the big 1-3 officially now. And what did he say? He goes, hey, for my birthday, could we do some grilling? And I said, hey, I got some lovely marinated chicken ready to rock and roll for you. So we grilled.
And it was nice.
It was nice. And I didn't have to wear a coat while I was out there. So yeah, thank you, El Nino. or whatever is going on. That's 70 degrees out here in north central Indiana at the beginning of March. Excellent. Okay. Andy, do we have anybody that we would like to thank?
We do. We would like to thank our Patreon supporters. You keep our lights on. While we do have a corporate sponsor, we love you guys who are actually sponsoring this show.
That's right.
For us personally.
Yep.
We want to thank everybody who is a sponsor. And if you're not a Patreon supporter,
yeah,
you get shows early.
Yes.
You get that warm, fuzzy feeling of knowing that you help support us.
100%.
And so join us at dudesanddadspodcast.com/Patreon.
Gosh, guys. Yeah. You know, here's the quick of it. You really are what keep Andy and I going. Week to week, you know, sometimes we come into the studio thinking, does anybody even care? But then we look at the list of our Patreon supporters and we say, well, at least three people do. So join that club, join the crew, get on board for as little as how much a month, Andy?
Little as $2.
As $2 a month.
You could support us.
You could support us. And you know what's better than $2 a month, Andy?
$100
a month. $100 a month. Or anywhere in between. So thank you all for supporting us. And consider supporting us today. Jump on the bandwagon. The water's fine. Okay. Well, there we have it. Andy, I want to introduce our guest tonight. I'm excited about this. This guy's been in, we'll call him in the queue for a while. He has previously, and I understand, I was a little salty about it, but he's previously prioritized family obligations over coming into the studio. But finally, I found him on a Sunday evening when literally there was nothing more interesting to be done. And that's really the key. When you're inviting guests on, you say, hey, what is the most boring day in your schedule? When are there no other things that could possibly be interesting? That's when we have them come on the show. So now we know why people really show up. My friend Ryan Wall, Ryan, welcome to the Dudes and Dads podcast. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, no problem. Well, past my bedtime.
Yep, I figured as much. You gotta be there at the shop early. So if you know, I don't know.
Not really.
No, I've seen how you just lollygag around. If you want this, well, just truth out of the bag, this guy will take a little bit more than an hour lunch. I'll let you know. It's working lunch.
That's enough information.
Yep. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. No, we were on official business, to be clear. But, Andy, I've had a lot of opportunities in my life to, how shall I say, intersect with some gifted people of that have all kinds of talents and abilities. I first met Ryan way, way back when, as a sophomore in high school. Ryan was working at a design firm that I managed to get myself a job at and actually keep a job at for over 8 years, which what high school student do you know
has an 8 year job?
Yeah, has an 8 year job. Please. No, I stuck with this place where they stuck with me.
Whole 8 years of high school.
Yeah. Ryan, yeah. Hey, you know, they liked me so much. They asked me back. But Ryan and I worked together for a little while. And then I'm trying to remember is that when you moved to Toronto? Is that when you left initially? Okay.
2001.
Yeah. Yep. Golly. Jeez. That takes me back. So what we're going to do is, that's how I met Ryan. And, he's, been on a really, interesting journey. Ryan is, an artist, he's a dude, he's a dad.
He fits the show.
All the criteria, but I want to talk about the subject of fostering creativity in our kids, but then also it also inevitably is a conversation about like how someone discovers their own creativity and builds that and gains that, and then like what lessons you kind of learn along the way. So first of all, Ryan, we always like to start with what we call the dad stats. So this is where you get to tell us about your family, about yourself, all the things that you feel safe to have out on the internet. This is your chance. So your wife, your kid, what you do, what you have done, all the stuff.
And how long do you got?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I've been married for quite a while.
That's a safe answer.
As long as I can remember.
Yeah. Okay. That's so good. Long. That's good.
My daughter Megan, she's a freshman in high school. Lived in Toronto for 15 years, then moved back here. Been about six and a half years now that we've been back. So.
When you moved out to Toronto, because let's just be clear. I mean, I'm suspicious of anybody that leaves this great country to move to Canada. So I'm curious.
It was for school. I always intended to be animation as a career. Kind of waited a little too long to do it.
Well, I'm trying to do the math. I'm like, how old were you when you moved up there? Cause I was young. And so everybody seems older, but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I originally wanted to do animation, like even as a career, like right out of college, but the colleges I'd went to didn't offer it. So I did fine art, graphic design, stuff like that. And then I started pursuing schools that were pretty much animation schools. Okay. Yeah. And then that's where I ended up in Toronto. And I ended up working up there and met my wife up there. And
so, hey, there's a good plus.
Yeah, a good move then.
So that's my excuse.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time I'd come down across the border and I'd show my passport, and he's like, the guards, you know, the U.S. border guards are like, what are you doing in Canada? So my excuse was I just pointed at her.
Okay. That's good. That's fine. Yeah. So I wonder, as a kid, you know, growing up here in, you know, small town, rural. I mean, because you grew up in the Middlebury area, right? This is
Bristol.
Yeah. Even worse. We've lost two of our Bristol listeners now too. I'm just checking people off. All of our Canadian listeners have left, and now, but growing up in this area, and what I wonder for you is, like, when did you first kind of realize, you know, because Andy, I know you haven't seen, but like Ryan, I mean, the work he does as an animator is really, really impressive. Really, really. And obviously there's a journey that you've been on to get there and develop skills and all of that. But when you were young, like, when did you kind of first realize, like, oh, I think I'm good at this, or I have an interest in this?
I always liked to draw. I mean, I have a twin brother too, and we always dabbled in, like,
are you both like gifted that way?
Yeah, Sean's a good artist. I mean, he didn't really pursue it, so I don't think he doesn't draw.
Gotcha.
I mean, but if he did draw, it would probably be better
than the average person. If you're like, hey, draw this,
you'd be like, oh, you and I.
So I mean, like, I mean, we draw just as kids. I mean, back then there's no phones, no video games, you know, it's either be outside playing baseball or be inside drawing or watching Grizzly Adams or something, Land of the Lost or something like that.
Yeah. The classics.
But, I mean, I'd do art projects in school, like kindergarten, and like the teachers would, oh, this is great, blah, 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 you know? And I was like, okay. You know, I mean, I really didn't really think too much about it back then, but, then teachers would have me draw something for like a fundraiser or something like that. And then
when you started making money for them, then
the first thing I remember drawing for the school, like as I went to Jefferson Elementary and they have the spring fling every year.
Oh yeah. I remember that.
And they had me draw, I don't know if you guys remember this character, Holly Hobby.
No.
It's like this little girl that she's got like a bonnet and like, it's kind of like a country, like almost like a Little House on the Prairie type character. And they had me draw this Holly Hobby, and they gave it to some lady and she stitched it on a quilt.
Oh man.
For like an auction.
This is something. All very on brand for this area. Like, so like, how can we make this into a quilt?
Right.
Yeah. 100%.
So yeah, I've got probably got an old quilt like somewhere in somebody's, you know,
probably somebody. If you're listening out there, you've got a Holly Hobby quilt hang up from Ryan,
with
Ryan,
a lot of dust on
a lot
it,
of like, dust on it. Ryan would like to reconvene with
No, apparently not.
Okay, gotcha.
I don't know how it actually looks. I mean, just stuff like that. I mean, I've always liked Disney. Mm-hmm. My parents took us down to Disney World back, I mean, as early as 74. Mm. We were like 2 years old. I mean, obviously I don't remember that trip. But every so many years, 2-3 years, we'd go down, and that would kind of, I always liked the Disney animated features, like the classic stuff. And then I think that kind of got me more interested when you're down there and then you see the artists down there, and then the Hollywood Studios, well, MGM Studios back then, actually had the animation studio there, and you could actually go through and see the process. And I mean, that's where I wanted to work when I got out of school. Unfortunately, taking my time to do it, they closed the studio down by then.
And wow.
So that, yeah, like, yeah, they closed down the studio in Paris, Orlando, and they actually had one in Canada as well. Mm-hmm. And then they just situated it in Burbank. So that was my only option there. But I mean, that was the goal, but I never made it down to sunny California.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
I mean, so at what point, like, when was the serious turn for you? When you did say, like, okay, I want to pursue art as something significant.
Probably high school.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted to be a pilot, like, at one point, like, maybe be a fighter pilot in the military, mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm colorblind, so they didn't want me shooting down our own plane. So
I just want to be clear. So I don't know if I ever knew this about you, actually. So as an artist, designer, all that, you're straight up colorblind.
I think that's what kind of drew me into animation also, is because an animator at the time, before computers and everything, I mean, you're just drawing with a pencil, mm-hmm. And then there's a whole other department that colors the drawings. And
yeah.
So I didn't have to worry about color at all. So, I mean,
nice.
That was perfect.
Yeah. You know? Right. Right.
Give me a pencil and that's
easy peasy.
Yeah. So yeah, like, high school is probably when I really started focusing on getting into that career, like, animation side of art. I wasn't big on painting, obviously, because of the colors, mm-hmm. and like, fine art stuff was nice, but just working in the entertainment industry, you know, doing like films or television, like, that just kind of piqued my interest. And yeah, I just started looking into stuff like that. I mean,
what's the avenue, and maybe this, I'm sure this has changed, but what's the avenue now for, I mean, you're a kid in high school, you're probably, you know, hopefully you had your teachers were like cheering you on and all of this, and, you know, kind of encouraging you in what you were doing today. What is the, like, what's the avenue if your kid right now is like, oh, you got a real skill in drawing and animation or some sort of the visual arts or whatever. Where do they go? Yeah. Where do they go? Where do you steer them?
Well, I think nowadays, I mean, I'm not quite sure about the schools around here, but there's a lot of kids can actually take some animation in high school.
Okay. Mm. Yeah.
Whereas back in my day, sound old, really old, but I kind of am, but yeah, like, I think in high schools, I think offer more kids opportunities to try different things, mm-hmm. like a little bit, especially because of the computer. The computer is huge now. And and I know some kids locally that have gotten into animation, like, and they're going to school for animation now. And I think it's a little bit freer as far as kids, I want to pursue it. It's a little easier to find places to go. And like back then, it was, you know, like I'd look in school in Cal Arts or Columbus School of Art and Design, Sheridan up in Canada. Those are like some of the big schools. And Disney would send out lists of schools that they prefer or they pick from, usually, that has their curriculum, kind of their guidelines. Nowadays, I mean, even there's online classes, Animation Mentor. A lot of these are taught by industry professionals. So you could just take classes right in your own house.
So with the technology piece, I'm wondering, would you say there's still value in gaining the skill of pen on paper? And is there something unique that's offered to you in that experience versus doing it all digitally or on a, you know, on a computer?
Well, if you're good at drawing, there's always a character design, layout. I mean, you have to create the characters by hand, mm-hmm. first, and then it's transferred into the computer. For me, I started out doing hand-drawn animation, like commercials, Lucky Charms, tricks, stuff like that in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And then once I got married, I went back to Canada. And at that time, it was all Flash was the big software.
Oh, right.
Like the Flash.
Yeah. Adobe Flash. And now it's Adobe Animate. Now it's pretty much the same software, but I basically taught myself Flash because if I wanted to get jobs, I'd have to advance my skill set. Mm-hmm. So I kind of taught myself on the fly. And my first job in Canada was on a show for National Geographic kids. And I remember still learning stuff about the software while I was actually working on the show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, kids these days, I think they know the computer so well.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like a fossil. I have to ask my daughter a lot of times about how to do things, like, and she'll be like, "Dad, you idiot." You know? Just this. And I'm like, "Oh yeah, I guess I am." But yeah, like you just have to, like, I mean, it's all the same creativity. It's just a different, the media changes. Yeah. And I hope it goes back to some more of the classical animation style. I mean, I think it's been so saturated with computer animation and it all kind of starts looking the same.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I think if they bring out another hand-drawn feature, I mean, it'll probably be, wow.
It'll really stand out. Yeah.
So, I mean, there's always that hope. I mean, I'm always available for that if it ever happens.
For the record.
But yeah, I mean, for me, I basically kind of found my niche in television. So I worked on some shows for PBS, Nickelodeon, Cartoon Network, Disney, just a whole range.
So name the shows, because I think some people would be interested in what you did.
Worked on a bunch of the Total Drama Island shows. Okay. There's so many seasons of that. Like, I can't remember how many of them. Yeah. And they're still actually going on to this day. Like, they've rebooted it, and it's seemed like a really popular show for Cartoon Network, and I think that's why they kept like a Survivor type show for kids. And then Arthur for PBS, Cat in the Hat knows a lot about that. Creative Galaxy for Amazon. Nature Cat for PBS Kids.
Nature Cat's that's a freaking killer.
Oh, you like that show?
I love
that was my least favorite show to work on.
That's so funny. Why your least favorite?
Well, they used Harmony animation software, and that was another one I didn't know. So I was learning it on the fly. Gotcha. And that one is really, it was almost, I don't know if you guys heard of Maya, the software. Yeah. Like, it's more 3D animation. Well, it was kind of the same way that it's set up, like hierarchies and all this. And it just seemed like really technical to me, and it wasn't as organic.
Sure.
So it wasn't as fun to animate on with that software.
It felt less artsy for you. That's really what I'm hearing you say. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. So yeah, I did that one, and then Creative Galaxy for Amazon. That's the Blue's Clues people. Mm-hmm. And that was a nice show. It was an educational show. Did Welcome to the Wayne. It was on Nickelodeon, I think, for just a season. And then Unikitty for Cartoon Network. And Tom and Jerry, the Tom and Jerry show for Warner Brothers. And that was on Cartoon Network also. So
are you working for sort of separate, because I don't know how this, like, separate studios that are contracted to do the animation for these?
Yeah. Like in Canada, a lot of the studios in Canada, are service studios. So like let's say Warner Brothers will farm out work, to different studios so there could be two or three studios working on one series.
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
The good thing about Canada was the dollar was less, so it wouldn't cost the studio as much. It's kind of like when they ship a lot of it overseas now because of that, because of the cost. So yeah, like, so I'd be working on this. This is kind of how I got back to the States. It was when I was on Tom and Jerry. I was working for a studio in Toronto on Tom and Jerry. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to contact the studio in the States and see if I can just work for them. Mm-hmm. So being from the States, a U.S. citizen, they said, oh yeah, sure. So I just started working for them. And then, so I was making U.S. money instead of Canadian money. And that's what kind of like led us back to Indiana. My wife, she's also an artist. She's an illustrator, graphic designer. She always wanted to open up her own store, like a stationery shop. She designs her own greeting cards and stationery. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, the perfect place to open one up, if you want to start one, is like small town, like, right. You yep. know, US, mm-hmm. you know, Indiana, Goshen, maybe. So we moved back down here and I was comfortable with that because I could still work for studios.
Yeah,
from home remotely,
sure.
Like out of from California, so we moved back here, and then the problem I found out was, well, I'm a contracted animator, so since I'm not in studio, I have to be responsible for my own health insurance benefits and stuff.
Yeah.
So then I got that. healthcare.gov or whatever it was. And I was like, man, this isn't a very good deal.
No, you know? No, one of the most depressing days.
So,
yeah.
So I was like, man, I need to get another job, you know, that has benefits. So that led me into the RV industry, obviously, mm-hmm. around being around here. So that's my full-time job now. I still do art, contracted art work for companies like Disney. I'm contracted with them. And then there's some other studios that I do contracted character art for.
Yeah.
And then I'll do animation occasionally too. It's been a while. I haven't reached out to any of them for a while, but I'm sure there's jobs available if I want them. It's just been, I've been so busy lately mm-hmm. that I've just kind of, I'll take things if I want them, and then pass on stuff.
So is this you, like, you know, you're working your 9 to 5 and then you're, slouched over in the basement somewhere, doing your additional animation work at night. Is that how that goes?
That happened a few times, which I think that's what kind of led me away from animation as a full-time thing. Like, I was trying to do a full-time animation on top of my full-time job.
Yikes.
And the problem is, like, the studios are out of California, so I'm going, well, I'll have that delayed hours, like, you know, so like I can get home at 4. It's only like 1 o'clock mm-hmm. there, so I can still talk to the directors and the producers and get what I need to get from them, and then get to work. But then after a while, I'm going, man, I'm tired.
Yeah, right, right.
So I think the job I enjoyed the most in animations that I moved back here was a revisionist position, which is basically they'll send the animation overseas, let's say to the Philippines, or I think it was the Philippines on Tom and Jerry. And then they'd do the initial character animation there, and then they'd send it back to the States. The animation director would make notes on it and give it to somebody like me. And then I'd basically change it or clean it up and make it look like how it's supposed to look, or or what they want to see mm-hmm. for the final post. And then I'd send it back to him. And that was a lot less stress, where I'm not having to deal with like 20 seconds of animation a week and wondering when I'd have the time to do it.
Yeah.
Like, so stuff like that, I still enjoy, but I just prefer doing like just drawings now, and it's not as repetition based, I guess, like animation, and then drawing like Mickey Mouse and stuff like that's kind of fun.
Sure. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So we touched a little bit about it earlier about kids, and you know, you'd mentioned the ability for them to, you know, get involved with their school, but what are some other ways that we as parents can kind of encourage that if we see, you know, I know for me, my second son is very, you know, art driven. What are some of the things that I can do to encourage him to keep doing that and maybe pursue that as a career, maybe not, but continue to develop that creativity as he goes along?
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's classes you can get involved in, like outside of schools. I know there's, I know Goshen used to have some art workshops. Mm-hmm. There's some in Elkhart too. I did some of those as a kid. Like, my parents were really supportive of me mm-hmm. wanting to be an artist. And I'm the same way with my daughter. My daughter does performing arts. Like, she's really into theater, musical theater. She does show choir in high school. If she wants to do something related to that or go to see a show somewhere, like a Broadway show, I kind of give her, you know, push her into like, you know, like, yeah, let's go see that. And, just encourage her to like do as much as she can. But not force her to do sure. stuff. Like, I know I wanted my daughter to play sports, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
like any dad,
yeah,
you know,
uh-huh.
I got her a softball bat and got some tennis balls, got her in the backyard. She was hitting the tennis balls. I'm like, man, she's hitting those really good. You know, let's go to the batting cage. So got her to the batting cage, got the real softballs. Like, the first one she hit solid. She's like, oh, my hands hurt. And I was like, oh, no softball for us. But she's more artistic, not so much drawing wise. I mean, she used to draw a lot as a kid, but she picked up on dance. She's a really good dancer. And then the whole show choir singing, she's pretty advanced as far as her singing voice for her age. She's been taking voice lessons for quite a few years now. And that's something that we support. Like, you know, if she wants to take lessons in something like acting or singing or even dancing, I mean, we're all 100%. Sure. And that's the same with art too. I mean, as a parent, you just got to support what your kid wants to do, but don't, you know, push them into it. Just see right. what they're interested in. Just kind of let them flourish, well, you know, like,
and I think too, that may be even seasons too, you know, where there may be a season where your kid is really into right. yep. the arts and the creativity, but then they may move on to doing something with sports. And so, yeah, I think that the, especially allowing them to explore
try different yeah. things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, my daughter played soccer for a little bit and I don't think she was a big fan of soccer, but I remember the last year she played, she goes, you know, Dad, I don't know if I want to keep playing soccer, but we had already started the season. I was like, but you need to finish the season. Yep. You know, yep. I don't want you to quit, you know, yep. just finish it out. And then if you don't want to play it next year, you don't have to play it, you know?
Yep.
And yeah, I mean, especially kids, younger kids, I mean, they're still trying to work things out and figure out what they want to do or what they're interested in. Mm-hmm. So I just think as far as creativity goes, if they're interested in something, as a parent, like, all you can do is just support them and give them all the, you know, the tools or the assets that they need to like try it out. Yeah.
Has the thought ever crossed your mind? Because this is, I think, particularly when we're talking about the arts, performing arts, visual arts, whatever the case is, so many parents are like, yeah, but what are you going to do for a job? Like, right. what are you going to do? Like, even as amazing as Megan might be, I'm wondering if it's in the back of your guys' mind, like, man, if there's a professional show choir out there for you to give your give your life to, great. However,
well, she wants to do Broadway.
Yeah, yeah.
But
way to aim high, Megan, by the way. Way not to settle for the low cookies on the shelf. No, we're going all the way. Yeah.
Well, she wants to do, like, she wants to major in musical theater.
Yeah.
At this point, I mean, she's a freshman, sure. so I mean, it could change, but I've always told her, you know, if you're going to major in something, maybe it would probably be good to minor in something else, mm-hmm. you know, always have a backup plan. I mean, even as an artist, like an animator, like I was always trying to think of something like if something like the floor drops on the industry, you sure. know, and it does happen. I mean, I know
if AI takes over right. the whole thing, well,
that's a big problem right now in that right. industry. I mean, all of art right now.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the studios in the States are shipping stuff overseas too. So there's a lot of really good animators in California or in the US that don't have any work anymore mm-hmm. either. So you always have to have a backup plan, but sometimes I as long as she's focused on wanting to do something, I mean, I'm going to give her all the opportunities
sure.
I can for her to achieve what she wants to do. And her mom's the same way. I mean, we're totally supportive. I mean, I'm Megan's chauffeur. I drive her, I don't know how many miles a week to rehearsals, this back and forth, picking her up from school, doing, and then the show choir, that's
okay.
That's hardcore.
Okay, so Andy, this is the part where if we have to ever edit anything out of the show, this is the part that we'll edit out. And I'm just going to say what I think about show choir. So for any of you that are big show choir fans and you are easily offended about criticism towards show choir,
skip to
30 yeah. seconds later, you can come back. Ryan, show choir is the bane of my existence, and I don't even have any kids in show choir, nor was I ever personally in show
choir. So what affected, what made this
your bane? Yeah. Here's the deal. It takes more time and more energy and more resources than any sport or any other extracurricular that, like, I feel like show choir, and I'll just say this, is off the rails in terms of boundaries for kids, particularly because a lot of their shows are far away. They go into the early morning. They're Saturdays. They're not just Fridays. They're Saturdays.
Oh, this Saturday, I'm dropping her off at 5 in the morning.
Perfect. Right. When will she get done?
She'll probably roll back into the high school around 3 in the morning on Sunday morning.
Case in point. So this is my other thing from a faith. From a faith perspective, do you think Megan is getting up on Sunday morning like, man, can't wait to get to church?
No,
absolutely not. That's not happening. And I get why. So this is my, one
Pillow critique. Presbyterian.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Pastor Pill. Bedside Baptist.
Yeah.
that's my critique on the whole thing. I think that's one area within the performing arts at the high school level that, like, and I'm thrilled for Megan that she's doing it. I'm glad that she loves it. It develops a lot of discipline and a lot of really, really great things, but that would be my,
on a positive note.
Thank you.
The show.
Thank you.
On the positive note, show choir season is very short. So that happens. Those Saturdays yeah. are probably only like 4 or 5 times
okay.
the whole year.
Okay.
I mean, practices start probably in, I want to say November though.
Yeah.
But they have a class at the school for it too during sure. the day. And then they practice at least 2 to 3 times after school,
mm-hmm.
right after school. So.
Yeah. Yep. I'm just saying, yeah. I'm just putting it out there, but it's
amazing.
But
you should go to a show choir.
Listen, I've, however we got on this. See, I told you, like, it's really going to draw me in.
You need to go meet your demons head on. Right. Go to a competition.
Okay. All right. So Ryan, I will just as a way of being supportive and not coming off like a complete jerk, you let me know. I'll attend.
They should have a community performance like coming up in like probably 3 weeks.
Perfect.
And it's on a Thursday night.
Oh.
It's not even late.
Okay. So. But the same thing could be said for travel ball though.
Yeah. Well, sure. It could be you are correct. It could be, except for the fact that that's a different situation because you're operating outside. I didn't really mean to get sidetracked on this because it's academic. That's what I'm saying. It's connected. Like,
sure.
They have a grade attached to them, like them coming home early, like 3 a.m. on a Sunday morning. They're doing that in order to achieve a certain, and I guess you could say she could choose not to be in show choir. That's her choice. That's an elective, da, da, da. We could go down the rabbit hole. It's fine. I get it. Show choir. It's great. I think it's amazing. What those kids do is absolutely amazing. I'm really, really impressed by it. I just am just more talking.
You can't sing and dance.
100%. Thank you.
We should ask.
You know what? You know what? Maybe that's actually, maybe that's really what the core of it is, that I
you're just bitter. You're sour grapes.
That's fair enough. Fair enough. I did try out for the, what was it? It was the Northern Lights back in the, is it still the Northern Lights? Golly.
There's Northern Lights and Starlights.
Ooh, so. One sounds a little more, inappropriate than the
other. Starlights is all girls.
Okay.
Choir.
Okay. Gotcha.
And then the Northern Lights is the mix.
Gotcha.
You know? So okay. Yeah, you would probably only qualify for the Northern Lights as far as I know.
Thank you.
Good. Maybe that's why he's so bitter.
Yeah,
that's right. Actually,
I wanted
to be into Starlights.
Right.
Yeah.
So, thinking through, you know, as you've said, like as you and Jasmine have just tried to support Megan and what she's doing, and not, it's like, have there been times where you guys have had to push at all, where you've had to have some sort of difficult conversation about the choice, the direction that she was heading or choices that she was making within that realm of performing arts?
Not yet so much. I'm sure there's going to be some before long, because she's going to have to make decisions on what she has time to do, because obviously you can only do so much.
You can only do so much show choir and then whatever. No,
full circle. She does a lot of theater outside of school.
Sure. Yeah.
She's also doing theater in school. So last fall, we kind of ran into some schedule conflicts as she was in Wizard of Oz. She was Dorothy.
Yeah.
She played Dorothy and Elkhart at the Lerner. And then she was also doing some stuff at the school. Well, the schedules were kind of conflicting. So she had to basically pick one or the other.
Yep.
And which was good, because that kind of gave us the realization that, you know, during the school year, maybe you shouldn't do theater outside. Maybe you need to focus on either theater on the outside or theater in school. And then maybe if you do theater, school theater, then do the outside theater in the summer, mm-hmm. you know, pick a show in the summer you want to do. That was the first time that ever kind of happened to us.
Yeah.
And I mean, it'll probably happen again, like with other things, because as she gets older, she's going to be wanting to do more things with her friends or work. But she's always going to have to make time for this stuff, you know, that she wants to pursue. I mean, I think she's really good with school. She gets all A's in school.
As performing arts kids do, by the way. Like this is a thing we talk about a lot in music with my kids. They are better students because they have to develop all these other skills. Like being in the performing arts, the thing that you're talking about right now, schedule, time management, things like that. You know that you have X amount of time to get this school work done or make these priorities, like. That shaping that skill early, it, obviously way better than doing it later, like I did when I was like, you know, like, oh, I kind of
learned when I was like 35.
Yeah, you know, right.
Like
right.
To
right.
Manage my time.
When my boss said I actually have to be to work.
Yeah. Right. Real bummer.
Yeah, when he forced me, he said, "Do you want this job?" No, but my daughter, Jasmine and I don't have to tell her to do homework or anything.
Yep.
And I was thinking to myself, where did she get this from? Because it wasn't from me. I was the exact opposite when I was in school. Yep. And I wasn't even in show choir doing any of that stuff.
Yep.
I was like a procrastinator. I think that's what they call it.
I think so.
But I think Megan is a procrastinator when it comes to certain things, but she always ends up getting done, like, and then even her theater stuff, and this is maybe the creativity side of her personality, is we never see her practice for theater. She goes to practice rehearsals, and then she comes home and like she doesn't, I mean, she must rehearse on her own time and everything. And then we go to the shows and then she like knocks it out of the park. And I'm like, holy cow. Yeah. You know, it's like, so also another thing, like we're talking about as parents, you know, you want to foster your kids' creativity or anything they do, like sports, theater, music. Me personally, I almost feel that you have a talent for a reason, you know, like, like God given talent, right, so to speak. And you almost need to try to utilize it even in some capacity. I mean, if you don't want, let's say somebody's really good at something, but they don't, you know, I don't want to do that as a career. I was like, I almost feel like there's a reason why you have that skill, you know? Yeah. So try to use it for something, you know, at least try for, you know, to see how that.
You have a stewardship responsibility of some sort.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So I'll never not draw or do art. You know, I mean, I'll draw stuff for people just if they ask me to, you know.
That's good. Cause I got a thing that Ryan's going to draw for us. I already got a project for him. So that's good. No. Yeah. 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 It's been great. It's going to be great.
Is it for that, that drink there? Liquid Death?
Yeah. That's right. No,
can design,
but you feel like, that's been given to them for a reason, any of us for a reason. And I think sometimes it's a mature perspective and more of an adult perspective to understand that our kids often don't think that way.
Right.
You know, like I think that's a really interesting thing to say to your child. Hey, I think that God gave you this for a reason. And I think it's the responsible and faithful thing to do is to pursue this to some level that you gain clarity or appreciation for it.
Right.
Whatever that is.
And when I did animation, the people go, oh, do you watch animation on TV? Oh, this is my favorite show. And I'm like, not really. Yeah. I mean, I don't really watch the stuff. I mean, I'll watch it when my daughter would watch it. But I'd have so many people. I actually had a kid write me back in the day and say how great he loved the show that I worked on. And he wanted to be an animator when he grows up and all this stuff. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I think I got more satisfaction out of knowing that people enjoy the stuff that I do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not necessarily me doing the work, but the end product.
Sure.
When oh, my kid loves that show, and oh, we love Arthur, we will watch that show forever, and this and that. And I'm like, you know, that's worth more than anything to me. And I think that's being in the entertainment industry on some, you know, spectrum, I guess. I mean, I'm not like an actor that's on TV or anything. I mean, most people want to know that I worked on any of this stuff unless they stuck around and watched the end credits zip by a split second. But just knowing that people enjoy the stuff you do, like, I mean, that's the most rewarding thing about being in the creative arts,
right?
Like theater, music, whatever, you know, like, I think that's what my daughter enjoys too, is people saying how much they enjoyed watching her on stage. And, I think that kind of pushes her and drives her to do that stuff too. And I think anything a parent can do too about, you know, positive reinforcement, you know, that helps out driving them forward as well. So,
And also to remember that our kids and their adolescents, they don't always know how to say thanks for the encouragement.
Well, you know, another thing, I was just thinking that the other night, about all the trips you make with your taking your kids back and forth. I mean, I just feel like a chauffeur is like, oh, we'll be out in 15 minutes. And then an hour later, they just come moseying out. And I'm like, you're right here, miss. Yeah. You know, it's like, I feel like I'm like, I need a hat, you know, like a chauffeur. But they'll get it eventually. Mm-hmm. If not, like 5 years from now, it's when they become parents and they're doing the same thing to their kids. I'll be like, wow, my parents did this for me and I didn't even realize how much they did, you know?
Yeah.
But Megan's pretty appreciative of, she'll thank us for stuff. And I mean, not all the time, you know, sometimes, but I just think we as parents, that's our responsibility anyway, you know, to have our kids have the best life they can and the most opportunities to do or pursue whatever they want to do and become successful. And when they become adults, you know, that's all we can do for them. And hopefully they make the right choices. And
Of all the things that Megan has done or is doing, what would you say, what are you most proud of her for?
When she cleans the room without us. I don't know. I mean, she amazes us like all the time, just with the things she does. Like when she sings, like, it's like, where'd she get that? She didn't get it from me. You know, it's then, you know, that it's a gift, you know, and people will come up and go, yeah, Megan, she's just so good for age. And she's actually an age-wise, she should be only in eighth grade. Like in Canada, they start out a year early.
Okay.
So when we move back here, we're like, should she go back into second grade, or should she be in third grade? So they tested her and said, no, she should be in third. So yeah, she's a year younger than all the kids in her grade, you know? So, and she's keeping up with them. Yeah. It's some things she's ahead of them in some way. So I think that's what's makes me kind of proud, is knowing that she's not letting that hold her back. Like knowing that she's younger, I don't think she even thinks about it anymore. Yep. She just pushes ahead, and I think she like thrives. So, So, I mean, there's not really one thing that stands out. I mean, everything she does, I'm proud of her for doing it and sticking with it too.
Yeah, I think the follow through that's required, especially if like there's a production involved or something like that, like the initial investment, the practice, the rehearsal, you know, those things. And folks, if you're listening, like we don't often think about. I think sometimes it's easy to think about the performing arts as being this extraneous extra. It's pleasant and it's nice, but you know, we've also got the real world out there to live in. The real world demands a level of discipline and a level of follow through. And quite honestly, right now there's a portion of our workforce that is, you know, and Ryan, you as a sales manager know this, right? Like there's a portion of our work and I won't even name, but there's a portion of the workforce that really struggles in that area. This idea of there are timelines, there's a beginning, a middle, and an end, and a finish line that you need to cross on this thing. Our performing arts kids get that. In terms of there are the initial rehearsals, it starts off rough. You have to keep on working through. You have to do the practice, put in the time, and then, quite honestly, like I think about my kids, like their concerts. They do a concert after months of of practice, and it's
the payoff is so small compared to the work up to it.
Yeah,
and it can feel that, but at the same time, it's like that sort of work and that sort of labor is formative. It develops something in our young people, and I think you guys have seen that and are understanding that with Megan, as she's doing what she's doing. So, and Megan, congratulations that you got to be just this unwilling, probably this unwilling star of this episode. I hope you haven't warned her at all whatsoever. You had no idea. So maybe just keep this from her and then just like share it with her at some point. Be like, guess what? We just talked about
20 years from now.
Yeah. We just talked about you on this random show. So, Ryan, thank you for sharing all that. That's just, it's really interesting, I think, to think about, some of our kids, they'll be like, you know, I've got one kid, I'm like, yes, you know, he's probably going to be like, he's very mechanically minded. He's probably gonna be an engineer or technician of some sort or whatever. And there's kind of like a clear path for that. And I got, you know, another kid who's, you know, interested in this, that, you know, we all have those kind of, that's where it's a clear, the path for them in the future seems a little more clear. Sometimes in the performing arts, we feel like it's, oh, it's like a little bit of a,
it's like, know, a broad.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I also think as a creative person, let's say theater performing doesn't work out all the time, but there's always other avenues. Like you can teach dance, you can teach voice, you know, you can be involved in like a theater, like board on a board for a theater, you know, just, you can, there's other avenues of the arts that you can stay involved in when you're not doing your particular.
I had a young lady apply for a job with the agency that I work for, a nonprofit agency I work for, that she had just, she was a professional ballerina and she had hit her mid 20s and was like aging out of the ballerina game or whatever. But I looked at her resume and like talking to her on the phone, she was like one of the most well, like for a 25 year old, like the most well, like articulate, well put together person. And it was clear that her fine arts and performing arts experience had all led to that too. Like there were deliverable skills, you know, on the other side of it.
I also think too, now like kids these days with all the technology they have, I was telling Megan, I was like, if you want to be a performer, you might want to like look into other things, like, you know, how you have to have an agent, you know, to book you,
sure,
like auditions and this and that. But I mean, you can learn to be your own, like, and that helps on the business side of it. So then you pick up your business and your people skills, your art, to be articulate, like she probably was. And, so yeah, being just the creative arts, you can actually pick up other things to help you out with your creative art. And then that's what I think that's what I want to really try to push Megan a little bit, just not on that side, but on other aspects of it, which would help her down the road too. If let's say she wanted to get into business or some other careers to fall back on later on.
Yep.
And then she has those skills as well, you know.
We just had this experience. We were down in Tucson with Aaron for the showcase that he was at. And, you know, these coaches are saying, listen, you need to be learning how to advocate for yourself, how to talk to adults, coaches, to be able to come across as a person that they want on your team.
Because they'll interview you.
They absolutely will. And they have, there's somebody waiting in line behind you that is ready and willing to take whatever spot or whatever opportunity that you're looking for. And that's very much the case. I mean,
very same with sports and same with like the arts,
right?
You don't want to get complacent, because I tell people, I knew I worked with people that were way better than I was, but I liked working with those people, 'cause those people kind of drove you, but then they also made you better by, you picked up on stuff that they do. They can help you become better, but they also push you to be as good as them.
Right.
And I've told this to Megan too. And I'm like, it doesn't matter how good you get at something. There's always going to be somebody better than you.
Always.
So you always need to strive past where you are. And that goes with everything in life, you know? Yep. I mean, if you get complacent, you tend to fall behind, or you get lost in the mix, so to speak. So
yeah, no, that's good. That's good. Well, hey, we obviously can't let any guests go before.
Now it's time for Dudes and Dads pop quiz.
Absolutely. This is an
opposite.
Yeah, yeah. That's
that was Joel about 10 years ago.
That's Aaron like 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
He's probably
pre-puberty. Super,
yeah, yeah. He'd probably be super embarrassed to hear that now. So this is where we get to ask a bunch of random questions to Ryan. He can't prepare for them. This is helps just us get to know like the deeper level of.
Thanks, everybody. I'm out of here.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, everyone's passed and no one has hated this yet. So
they have told to our
face. First time for everything.
There is. There sure is. So, Andy, do you want to start off?
Yeah. Okay. So this is one we've asked before to other guests, but I like it because it reveals something about you. If you had to delete all but 3 apps from your smartphone, which ones would you keep?
Royal Match. Royal Match. My wife would hate if I kept that. She's like, you're always on that. Another one I'd keep. Probably my probably just my email and my instant messenger.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Easy enough.
I'm a simple guy.
Yeah, you know what? And that's what we
as long as the royal match is on there. I think that's what it's called. Yeah.
Not a sponsor.
Yeah. It could be.
Ryan, of all the characters that you have drawn in your career, what's the favorite?
I like Donald Duck.
Yep.
Yeah, he kind of gets a bad rap. He doesn't get enough, you know, of the spotlight.
That's right.
Yeah, Mickey always takes it from him, but he's always been my favorite. As far as animated characters, I'd probably have to say I like Arthur. Mm-hmm. I like that whole series. I'm big on the educational shows that have like a lesson at the end of each episode. Right. The younger kids stuff, it kind of like helps mold kids a little bit.
Love it.
Yeah.
What are you most excited about right now?
March Madness.
Yeah, buddy. Who are we shooting for? I can't remember if you
can't say Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Can't say IU either. I'd like to see Purdue win. If they can make it past the first or second round, I think they'll be fine.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Next question. How quickly can you do a rough sketch of Arthur if you were given like seconds?
Oh man.
Arthur's easy.
Okay, here we go. This is the visual part. So we're gonna see Ryan.
All right, see what happens.
Do we have a camera on him right now? I gave him the crap. I thought it was a good pen. I gave him a crappy pen. Nice. Okay. Seeing it come together.
It's kind of mad, but
this is the darker.
Nice. Okay, you gotta do your signature at the bottom too.
I'll draw you Mickey instead.
Oh, okay. He's going to do a Mickey instead. All right. Great. He doesn't want to just put his name, his signature on just any old thing. Circle. What Ryan is really showing us is that any moron can draw. It's just a series of circles.
You gave him the crappy pen.
I thought I gave him a good pen.
Come on, Joel. He's out of ink already.
The question is, how fast can you do it without ink?
Yeah.
We'll really see. We'll really see what he brings to. Okay, here we go.
Well, looks like that marker's running out of ink too.
Yeah, this is what we like to keep everything. Clearly, our office supplies here.
This is what our Patreon supporters.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. For only $2 a month, you can help us get pens in this office that actually work. There we go.
A little rough, but.
But hey. See, kids, it's not that hard. It's totally yeah. doable.
There you go.
Signature at the bottom. You got to officially sign it. That way. Perfect.
Sweet.
There you go.
Perfect. Right. Beautiful. Okay, guys. Andy, do you have one more question?
No, I'm done.
Okay, fantastic. Congratulations. He illustrated his way through the pop quiz, which is a first.
This is a first.
So congratulations. He passed with flying colors. Well done. Well done.
Thank you, guys.
Yes. Hey, Ryan, thanks for coming to hang out with us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. It was fun.
Yeah. Well, we try.
I don't have a voice for podcasting like you guys.
But you got a face for one. And that's
yeah, that's what I've been told. That's why I was an animator.
There we go. Hey, as always, guys, you can head over to Dudes and Dads Podcast. .com and you, check on the show notes and the previous episodes.
We've never had voicemail. Well, no, we have, but not lately. So you can leave us a voicemail at 574-213-8702.
dudesanddadspodcast@gmail.com is a great place to send emails to us, which we then read. And if you send us emails that have ideas for future shows, that's even better. So yes. Go ahead and give us the ideas. Or maybe you've got a question for one of our guests that you'd like us to pass along.
We would love to do that.
Always love to do that. Connect you with people who know stuff. So, hey, guys, thanks. And we've run out of the music. Fantastic. Guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us again. And as always, we wish you grace
and peace.